Reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 2, Chapter 3, Text 12.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Janam yadapritina vitta gunormi chakram atma prasara utayatra gunesha sangha saivalya sammatapatas vata bhakti yoga ko nivrito harikata suratim nakuryat. Transcendental knowledge in relation with the Supreme Lord Hari is knowledge resulting in the complete suspension of the waves and whirlpools of the material modes. Such knowledge is self-satisfying due to its being free from material attachment. And being transcendental, it is approved by authorities. Who could fail to be attracted? Purport. According to Bhagavad Gita 10.9, the characteristics of pure devotees are wonderful. The complete functional activities of a pure devotee are always engaged in the service of the Lord. And thus the pure devotees exchange feelings of ecstasy between themselves and relish transcendental bliss. This transcendental bliss is experienced even in the stage of devotional service and practice. Sadhana avastha, if properly undertaken under the guidance of a bona fide spiritual master. And in the mature stage, the developed transcendental feeling culminates in realization of the particular relationship with the Lord by which a living entity is originally constituted, up to the relationship of conjugal love with the Lord, which is estimated to be the highest transcendental bliss. Thus, bhakti yoga, being the only means of God-realization, is called kaivalya. Srila Jiva Goswami quotes the Vedic version, Eko Narayano Deva Paravaranam Paramo Asti Kaivalya Shamgita in this connection, and establishes that Narayan, the personality of God, it is known as kaivalya, and the means which enable one to approach the Lord is called the kaivalya panta, or the only means of attainment of Godhead. This Kaivalya Panta begins from Shravana, or hearing, those topics that relate to the personality of Godhead. And the natural consequence of hearing such Harikatha is attainment of transcendental knowledge, which causes detachment for all mundane topics, which a devotee has no taste at all. For a devotee, all mundane activities, social and political, become unattractive. And in the mature state, such a devotee becomes uninterested even in his own body. And what to speak of bodily relatives? In such a state of affairs, one is not agitated by the waves of the material modes. There are different modes of material nature, and all mundane functions in which a common man is very much interested, on which he takes part, become unattractive for the devotee. This state of affairs is described herein as priti nivritta gunarmi, and it is possible by atma prasad, or complete satisfaction without any material connection. The first class devotee of the Lord attains the stage by devotional service, but despite his loftiness, for the Lord's satisfaction, he may play the voluntary part of a preacher of the Lord's glories and dovetail all into devotional service, even mundane interests, just to give the neophyte a chance to transform mundane interest into transcendental bliss. Srila Rupa Goswami has described this action of a pure devotee as nirbandha krishna sambandhe yuktam vairagyam uchite. Even mundane activities dovetailed with the service to the Lord are also calculated to be transcendental or approved Kaivalya affairs.
Om Jnanate Marandasya Kanantana Shavakaya Chakshun Mulatam Yena
Namah Sri Gurave Namah Sri Chaitanya Mano Bhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Shayam Rupa Kadamayam Vidati Sapadantikam Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadha Sri Vasade Gaur Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. So, I will briefly go back and try to get a bearing on this section. It was a little difficult for me, actually. I'm thinking I'm beginning to extract this meaning. So we realize that the first two chapters were the answer of Sukadeva Goswami to Maharaj Prickett's question, what is the complete or perfect duty for a man? So many duties, especially for a man who's about to die. And his answer very clearly was one should chant, hear, remember, and worship Krishna. That's clearly the duty. That's clearly our dharma. Dharma means our nature. And according to our nature, according to what we are, there are certain things we should be doing. We're created. In other words, you have to understand what we're made for to understand what we're made to do. So we're made for service to Krishna. That's what we're made for, his part and parcel. And therefore, we are made to serve him. And because in this material world, we are forgetful of that nature, the duty in this material world is to uncover that nature, uncover the nature as a devotee. And the process of doing that is chanting and hearing about Krishna. So that is the duty of human life. That is the duty of human life. And we do so many activities in devotional service. And by those activities and by that service, Shushrushro Shradadhanasya Vasudeva Katavachi Syat Mahatsevana Vipra Punyatirtana. By that service, Shushrushro Shradadhanasya Vasudeva Katavachi, we should get that ruchi or taste for chanting and hearing. And therefore, we should chant and hear about Krishna, and we should uncover our eternal nature. The whole Bhagavatam is based on this point. Savai Pumso, Paro Dharma, the top Dharma, Hoitaki Upper, Yato Bhakti or Dokse, the top Dharma is service to Krishna, Hoitaki Upper Tiyata, without cause, not mixed with any other motive, without break, Yanatmasa, that will give satisfaction to the self. And when your self is satisfied, it means that you're doing the right thing. Just like when your body is healthy, what do you understand? I'm eating properly, I'm living properly, I'm walking properly, I'm doing the right things. Therefore, my body's feeling satisfaction. So when the consciousness feels satisfaction, it indicates that we're acting according to our nature, which is Krishna's service. So this is the duty. It was very clear. But because Maharaj Prickett, and this dialogue is not just for Maharaj Prickett, who's a great devotee, but it's for every man, Sukadeva Goswami explains it in a very interesting way. And he explains the duty by explaining, in other words, according to the level of consciousness that you're at, there's a different way that you may progress towards that goal. So he explained meditating on the Bharat Rupa, he explained the Super Soul, but the same conclusion came. Therefore, we should chant, hear, remember, and worship Krishna. So this chapter began with Sukadeva Goswami acknowledging that he has answered the questions of Maharaj Prickett, of an intelligent man, the Nishina. Because this is what an intelligent man does. The intelligent man is inquiring. Prabhupada said the difference between a human being and an animal, why I am suffering. And the question, why I am suffering, is really asking, what did I do wrong? just like I was sick for a day, you know, my brain had to activate, you know, what am I doing wrong? I'm suffering. What am I doing wrong? What's wrong with my eating? What's wrong with my living? And now I got to change that. And that's intelligent. That's intelligent. An intelligent man looks at the suffering and sees what is the cause? What am I doing wrong that results in suffering? And I have to change. I have to be more natural. So he praises that question. And then he begins to describe two things. I was reading this again to try to get a better grasp. One, he has to make it clear that because he's recommended chant here and worship about Krishna, he's recommended upasana worship. So he has to make it clear that worship of the demigods is inferior, because you can become confused about this point. And we see it's a common confusion that people, yes, they have some sense of bhakti, but they worship the demigods. And also he has to show continued showing the nature of the less intelligent man. So he begins to describe that the worship of the demigods is connected with material aspirations. And therefore it's less intelligent, because it's not dealing with the nature of the self. The nature of the self is that it's a servant of Krishna. So, material aspirations are not connected to the self. They're connected to the maya, the illusion that we're the enjoyer. It's not connected to our constitutional nature. It's like in the first verse of the second canto, it said, Atmavit Samatapampus. Because he asked about Krishna. It was those who are Atmavit, those who know what the self is, they approve it. Because it's about the self, it's about who you are. So he discussed this, and he discussed all the different material desires that you can get. If you want this, you worship this. You want this, you can worship this. But then he explained that akama. If you have no material desire, then you should worship. If you don't desire it, you should worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So he said, akama. If there's akama, then purusham param. Then you should worship the Supreme Person. Param also means transcendental. Narayana paro vyakta. You should worship God, who's beyond this material world. If you don't want anything in this material world, then you should worship God, who's beyond this material world. And this word akama also means, and Prabhupada discussed this, it's very brilliant, that akama means, when you're akama, when you have really no desire, that means that you're conscious of your position as a servant of God. Because when you're conscious of the position of the servant of God, and you understand that that's what you are, then your aspiration is to serve God. And Prabhupada gives the example of the hand. When the hand realizes that it's part of the body, then its aspiration becomes the service of the body, not independent and separate aspiration. So when you're free from that independent and separate aspiration, you understand that you're God's servant, then you should worship God. Then you should worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And that's the Purusham Param. That's the Supreme Person, the Supreme Destination. So he came to this conclusion, and then he said, Akama Sarvakamo Va Moksha Kama Udaradi Tivrena Bhakti Yogena Yajeta Purusham Param. That whether you have, whatever your position is, you should worship this Purusham Param. You should worship. If you have Udaradi, if your intelligence is broad, if you're intelligent, then you can see lateral thinking. Udaradi. If you're broad, if you can look very clearly, if you can see the truth, if you're very intelligent, you should worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Because he's the ultimate beneficiary for two reasons. One, whatever you want, comes ultimately from Him. And what you really want is Him. Because if you really want satisfaction, if you really want happiness, if you really want that happiness that you're hankering for, that happiness actually comes from the feeling of love. That happiness actually comes when you feel satisfied with the happiness of Krishna or God. And there's actually, because that's the Ladini Shakti, the real pleasure potency. The Ladini Shakti, the pleasure potency, which gives God pleasure and also happiness to the living entities, is love of Godhead. So that's ultimately the pleasure that we want. Therefore, Prabhupada says in the very first verse of the Bhagavatam that unless one knows this spiritual sex life, he won't get rid of mundane sex life. Because it's that intensity of pleasure, but the intensity of desire will satisfy the soul. But the intensity of desire is the intensity of how Krishna can be pleased. How Krishna can be pleased. So that intensity of desire that satisfies the soul is actually the selfless desire to give Krishna pleasure. It's a very interesting point also, because Krishna is all attractive. And because Krishna is all attractive, we love Him. We love Him because He's the most beautiful. We love Him because He's the most strong. We love Him because He's the most famous. We love Him because He's the most intelligent. But that doesn't make the love selfish. If someone falls in love with someone else because they're intelligent or beautiful or strong, but then actually falls in love, then they just want them satisfied. They just want to please that person. And they'll do anything. They'll sacrifice their whole life to please that person. So, one who has... And then, we'll get up to today's verse. Then, he began to talk about Nishreyasya, the highest benediction. The highest benediction, it's the same point, this is the point that's made. The highest benediction by all different kinds of worshippers, whatever you worship. The highest benediction is Bhagavat Achalo Bhava. Achalo means without flinching, Bhava, spontaneous love. That's the highest benediction. And this is the point I was discussing, it's just confirmed here. This is the highest benediction. And how does that highest benediction come? It comes from Yat Bhagavata Sangita. It comes from association with the devotees. Because without the association with the devotees, you can have no idea of what the highest benediction is. We are trying to satisfy Krishna because we've met a devotee who has given us the idea. He's given us the bhakti lata bij, the seed of devotional service. And that seed is the concept that it is good to serve Krishna. And even if it's, I'm sacrificing now and making some austerities now, that goal is sublime. It's the best thing. I'm working towards the goal. To serve Krishna is the best thing and have the best result. And I feel attraction to it. That comes from association with the devotee. He gives that bhakti lata bij. And I always give the example, without the association of Prabhupada, we would have no idea that the highest pleasure and the best thing and the thing that has the most value is to work to please the senses of the object of our love, which is God. We'd still be in that concept, fully absorbed in that concept, that my happiness will be when my senses are satisfied. When my prestige, my distinction, my admiration, when I'm in the center and self-absorbed and the world must move around me. And if we're very, 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 very unfortunate, then we become like Donald Trump or someone very wealthy where that illusion is expanded and we're able to control and be very miserable because it has nothing to do with itself. So that this, the Sangha, And also, without the Sangha of the devotee, then you have no access to the scriptures, which explain clearly, like what we're explaining here, that this aspiration, material aspiration, is not going to satisfy us. We're convinced of that by hearing the scriptures from the devotee. So it comes down to the devotee. Therefore, we should chant here worship about Krishna, and it should be in the association, the Sangha of the Bhagavat, the person. And this is also, you can see what's happening here too, is Sukadeva is explaining to Maharaj Prickett, but in another way, the same instructions were explained by Sutta Goswami to Shaunaka Rishi. Because when he asked, what is the ultimate absolute good, what Vina explained? He explained the process, how you advance. Nashta Praeshu Bhadreshu, Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya. By the Nitya Bhagavata Sevaya, the Nitya Seva, the regular Seva, every single day of the book Bhagavat and the person Bhagavat. And this is the Krishna consciousness movement. This is what Prabhupada gave us. He gave us the book Bhagavat, the person Bhagavat, the mission to the devotee, and chanting and hearing. And these work, they work together. You know, by your service, you become inspired to hear. And if you take that inspiration to hear and hear more, you'll become inspired to serve more. And by being inspired to serve more, you'll be inspired to hear more. But if we just begin, we just take the service and don't use the mercy of that service to chant and hear, then we may just continue to serve, but without that inspiration and knowledge, and it can become fruitive. We can begin to work because it's our nature only, and start subtly behind our work, have that conception. This is what I like to do. Without that nature. So we have to chant and hear and worship Krishna. And Prabhupada gave us both paths. Both paths. And then the conclusion was today's verse. Transcendental knowledge in relation with the Supreme Lord Hari. And you have to understand that Sukadeva Goswami is explained to Maharaj Prickett, who asked what is the duty of a man who's about to die. So this is kind of like he's tying it up. It's like a verse where he's tying it up, and Maharaj Prickett is on the edge of his seat listening, and he's saying, transcendental knowledge in relation with the Supreme Lord Hari, that means Hari Katha, is knowledge resulting in the complete suspension of the waves and whirlpools of the material modes. The body is going, he's dying. This is what he has to hear. Such knowledge is self-satisfying due to being free from material attachment and being transcendental. It is approved by authorities. Who could fail to be attracted? Who could fail to be attracted? And the word is ritim. Who cannot be attracted? Nivrita Hari Katasu, absorbed in the topics of the Supreme Lord. Who can fail to be attracted? Who can fail to be attracted because they're so attractive? And who can fail to be attractive because look at the result of hearing about them? And Prabhupada discusses this in the purport, how the characteristics of this Krishna Katha is that it gives rati. It gives attraction for Krishna. And Prabhupada quotes Bhagavad Gita verse 10.9. Machita matkata prana oriyantas paraspara. That this is what devotees do. Machita matkata prana oriyantas paraspara. They discuss with one another about Krishna. This is a devotional society. That's why without this kind of activity, you don't really have an international society for Krishna consciousness. This is really what's lacking sometimes in our movement. We have to have this sangha, this inspiration for getting together and chanting and hearing. And what will be brought up, even in the future verses I'm seeing, is that there's a potency to that beyond our own personal studies. When there's Hari Katha in association with devotees, there's there's Krishna who actually becomes pleased with that kind of sangha. And you get kind of like a benediction or a mercy to go deeper. So this sangha must be there based on Krishna Katha. The characters of the pure devotees are wonderful. The complete functional activity. Okay. So Prabhupada discusses this, that even this rati, even in sadhana, you can have this rati. And then this rati, Prabhupada discusses, will culminate in our eternal relationship with Krishna. So this is this rati. Now, Prabhupada also discusses the different words to discuss this Krishna consciousness. And he discusses this word kaivalya, because what's discussed is, it says kaivalya samatha panta. Samatha means approved. Just like in the first verse of the second canto, it says atmavit samatha pumsa. It's approved by atmavit. So here also it says same thing. This is approved. And how is it approved? It's approved as kaivalya panta. It's approved by those who are transcendentalists that this is actually the only path of perfection. This harikata, this bhakti yoga, is really the only means of God realization. Because ultimately what God realization means is to realize you are a servant of Krishna. So the path to realize that is only this harikata. And that's also a quote from Jiva Goswami in this connection, where Prabhupada quotes from, Jiva Goswami quotes from the Vedas, that how Narayana is known as Kaivalya, and therefore the means to enable him is also called Kaivalya Panta, or the only means of attainment of Godhead. That's the only means, this harikata. So it's Kaivalya. He discusses that word. He also discusses how you become Atma Prasad, you become self-satisfied. It's so satisfying. Vishyavani Vartante, Niraharasyadeyana, Raso Rasyam Puru, Raso Pyasya Param Varja. I got the verses. Vishyavani, that you, Param Drisvanavarti, you become so satisfied that you can give up this attachment to the material world. And therefore it's approved as the path, because you can actually become detached. And even in our own path of detachment, we have to set a spiritual objective. In other words, we can make sacrifice when we have some objective. Like a mother loves the child, so she'll undergo so many austerities. Or someone wants to put their child through college. Remember when my grandfather came to America in like 19... My grandfather was born the same year as Prabhupada, in 1896. He came to America in 1910, you know, and he worked like 20 hours a day. He was the first bicycle delivery man in America, according to him. Anyway, so... I used to sit by my grandfather, you know, and he used to tell stories of the old country and how he came, and, you know, I used to love hearing all this. He was like our hero. Russia. And how many people stole from him that he took into the business. He would have been a millionaire. They hadn't stole all his money. One relative after the other, he took his business. They worked hard because they had an objective. So in Krishna consciousness, we have to set ourselves on an objective. Therefore, we also have to hear about Prayojana, the goal. We have to have an objective, an eternal relationship with Krishna. And we have to develop some desire for that so that we're willing to give up other things. And this is what's described here. So we're going to go on. It's very interesting what happens, because we've been in the discussion of Sukadev Goswami and Maharaj Prickett. This is the discussion we've been in. But you know, the Bhagavatam is a discussion about a discussion about a discussion about a discussion. So you have to see where you are in the narrative. But at least this narrative, ultimately, the way we're seeing it is that Vyasadeva is describing it. And he's describing when the Bhagavatam was spoken for the second time in its entirety by Sutta Goswami to the sages of Namasharanya. And in the discussion of Sutta Goswami, the sages of Naimisharanya, in their discussion, it somehow came to the point where in answering one of Sutta Goswami, the sages asked six questions. And asking their last question, where is knowledge and religion now that Krishna has left the planet? In answering their last question, then Sutta Goswami, he answered it that it would be in the Bhagavatam. When Krishna left the planet, he tells the sages of Naimisharanya that the knowledge would be in the Bhagavatam, that Krishna would be present in the Bhagavatam, and with knowledge. And then he explained how he was there. And then he explained how he was there, and he heard it, the Bhagavatam, and he said, I will now tell the Bhagavatam to you. So then we go in to Sutta Goswami telling the sages of Naimisharanya how Sukadeva Goswami was enlightening Maharaj Prickett, and he's relating what he heard because he saw it. So we would just been into this discussion between Sukadeva and Maharaj Prickett, but you have to understand that it's Sutta Goswami that's explaining it to the sages of Naimisharanya, who's led by Shonaka. So what happens now, Shonaka is hearing this. And it apparently, as he's hearing it, appears that there's some kind of conclusion. But he's eager to hear more. He doesn't want it to stop. So in his enthusiasm, in the assembly, he's a very respected person. He's as old as Swayambhuva Manu. He's 100 million years old. And he's been studying the Shastra since he was 5. And he has this incredible attraction for Krishna Katha. Incredible attraction for Krishna Katha. Like you can't understand, he's so eager to hear. He just sits, he turns his head and he drinks it. It's like a nectar drink. But you don't get filled and you're not worried about taking too much sugar. He's just drinking this nectar through his ears. And then it appears almost that it stops. So he stands up now in the assembly and he begins to speak. You know, all these verses about Krishna Katha and about Maharaj Prickett and Sukadeva Goswami and how they're great devotees and what a great devotees do. They speak about Krishna, so there must be something more. So speak more about Krishna, and there's a whole set of prayers as a catalyst. He's the person, Shonaka Rishi is the person in the class who really wants to hear. And then the speaker who everyone's come to hear and they're so eager to hear, some great speaker has come and everyone's enthusiastic to hear him. And he gives his class and he ends it at 45 minutes and everyone's eager to hear. And he says, are there any questions? And then there's silence. And then Shonaka Rishi's the person who's like thinking of the questions to ask to keep the thing going. So we're going to see Shonaka Rishi, and he exemplifies the qualification of a hero and the qualification of a devotee to advance. And the qualification of a hero and the qualification of a devotee to advance is their eagerness to hear. Their eagerness to hear. So we're going to read his prayers. They're very amazing. Shonaka Uvacha Ityabhi Vyartam Raja Nishamya Bharatarshaba Kimanyat Prishtavan Bhuyo Vayasi Kim Rishim Kavim. Shonaka said, the son of Vyasadeva Srila Shukadeva Goswami was a highly learned sage and was able to describe things in a poetic manner. He was Rishim. He was well-versed, and he was Kavim. He was a poet. What did Maharaj Prickett again inquire from him after hearing all that he had said? Anyat, more, Buya, again, what more, Prishtavan, did he inquire? By Nishamya, by hearing, Abhi Vyahitam, all that was spoken. again. What more did he say? What more? And then Prabhupada in the purport describes this word kavi, and he describes the 26 qualities of a pure devotee that are described. So one of them is poetic. Because you can't describe the loving sentiments of the spiritual world in any other medium except poetry. Poetry is the medium that can express emotions and sentiments. So a pure devotee automatically becomes poetic. It's one of his qualities.
Etat chushu shutam vidvam sutta no hasi bhushatam katha hari katho darka satam su sadasi dhruvam.
Oh, learned Sutta Goswami. That's exclamation part. Vidvan Sutta. Prabhupada said about the Gurukul, he said they should become Vidvan in Bhakti Mark. That's the purpose of Gurukul. Please continue to explain such topics to us because we are all eager to hear. Besides that, topics which result in the discussion of Lord Hari should certainly be discussed in the assembly of devotees. So, these topics should be discussed. Certainly they should be discussed in the assembly of devotees. Because the word here that was used is harikata udarka. The kata, which is harikata udarka, this kata, they're topics which result in topics of Krishna. So they're topics. It's about Marge Prickett. He was a king. He was dying. About Sukadeva Goswami, who was a mendicant. So they should be heard because they're harikata udarka. They result in discussions of Krishna. This is the value of these topics. Where was it before that we were reading that? It was so interesting. About Marge Prickett. As Shonaka Rishi before, he said the same thing. He said, let us hear about how Marge Prickett killed. Let's hear this war story, how Marge Prickett killed or subdued Kali, only if it's about Krishna. If it was not about Krishna, they didn't want to hear about it. They didn't care if it was war, romance, social things. If it wasn't about Krishna, they're not interested to hear. But now he's already understood. So he said, they result in discussion of Lord Hari, and they certainly should be discussed in Sadasi Satam. Satam means devotees. They should certainly be discussed in an assembly of devotees. Because these topics are about Krishna. Let's hear about the war. Let's hear about Marge Prickett. Let's hear about creation. Let's hear all these subjects because they result. They're kata, harikata, udarka. They're kata which results in harikata. Kata doesn't mean, it just means talk. But it's talk which results in harikata. So Prabhupada said, therefore, literatures like Mahabharata and the Puranas and similar other literatures which are full of the pastimes of the Lord are all transcendental literatures, and they should be discussed with full confidence in the society of devotees. Now, this is the problem, Prabhupada said. The difficulty is that such literatures, when discussed by professional men, appear to be mundane literatures, literature like histories and epics, because there's so many historical facts and figures. There's so many histories and facts and figures, so you can think it's mundane. And when people who are not devotees discuss it, it becomes mundane. It is said, therefore, that such literature should be discussed in the assembly of devotees, unless they are discussed by devotees, such literatures cannot be relished by the higher class of men. Because such roles ultimately come in discussion topics, all such feelings are transcendental. Krishna plays like social, he plays political, so many things, but they come, okay. Men have inclination for studying history and many other mundane literatures, so let them be dovetailed with the service of the Lord, and all of them will be turned into relish by devotees. So this is the thing. Please continue. And it's he says, shushrushatam, because we are eager to hear. So this is the dynamic. The speaker must be eager.
Savai bhagavato raja pandeveyo maharata bala kridana kai kridam krishna kridam ya adate.
So he explained. Please explain. Then he explains, Maharaj Prickett, the grandson of the Pandavas, was from his very childhood a great devotee of the Lord. Even while playing with dolls, he used to worship Lord Krishna by imitating the worship of the family deity. So he's explaining, this king, let's hear about this king. Why should we hear about this king? Because he's Mahabhagavat. He's a great devotee. And what is the symptom? Is that even while he was young, he used to worship Lord Krishna by imitating the worship of the family deity. So he was a great soul. He was born in a family of devotees. And Prabhupada quotes Bhagavad Gita 6:41. Srimatam yoginam srimatam gehe yoga brashta vijayate. That when one has not completed his path, he can come in a family of transcendentalists. You know, so that indicates a great devotee. But here the purport prophet said he's more than that. He's a nitya siddha. He's eternally liberated. In his past lives, he was always devotee. Maharaj Prickett's an eternally liberated soul. He's nitya siddha. And therefore, you know, from the very childhood, you'll see intense devotional feelings. And then Prabhupada describes his own life, which is, it's like that too. Children who appear in such families fortunately generally imitate such worship of deities, even the way of childhood play. So Prabhupada, the Radha Govinda deities, he was seeing. By the grace of Lord Sri Krishna, we had the chance of being born in a Vaishnava family. And in our childhood, we imitated the worship of Lord Krishna by imitating our father. Our father encouraged us in all respects to observe all functions, such as the Rath Yatra and Dol Yatra, and he used to spend money liberally for distributing prasad to us children and our friends. Our spiritual master, who also took his birth in a Vaishnava family, got all inspiration from his great Vaishnava father, Thakur Bhakti Vinod. This is the way of all lucky Vaishnava families. The celebrated Mirabai was a staunch devotee of Lord Krishna as the great lifter of Govardhana. So this is very, very important because children learn, young children especially, learn mostly by imitation. When I visited Kaylee Alita, I was asking about the school that she's teaching at and what their theory was. So they had some psychological, the whole theory is not correct, but they had some psychological insight into children and how they learn at different stages. So when children are very, very young, they mostly learn by imitation. So if the child is to become a devotee, they have to see the parents as devotees. And therefore they have to see the worship of the deity. And according to the parents, then that's how they'll learn. They'll learn so many things just by watching the parents. And if someone is born into a family where the parents are worshiping Krishna very, very regularly and with devotion, then they'll learn bhakti at an early age. Now in the purport, Prabhupada discusses from the commentaries how Maharaj Prickett learned. And there's two theories by two commentators. Sridhar said he would imitate the worship of the family deity, But Jiva Goswami said that he was hearing about the childhood pastimes of Krishna in Vrindavan. So you can imagine he grew up Maharaj Bricket, and he was hearing in the family about Krishna's childhood pastimes. Because his grandfather was Arjuna. And he grew up, you know, Yudhisthira raised him. Basically, his grandfather was Yudhisthira, who was an associate of Krishna. And Yudhisthira's mother was Krishna's sister, was Krishna's father's sister. So Yudhisthira's mother, Kunti, was Krishna's aunt. So he was hearing in the family. But Prabhupada said in the purport, he said, he might have imitated either or both of the activities. It doesn't matter. But all of them establishes great devotion from the childhood and a symptom of Mahabhagava, such as Nitya Siddhas. So they have to hear, they should hear Krishna Katha. They should hear Krishna Katha in the family also. Reading, just like you were mentioning, Ram Baru, now she's reading stories to the chat. This, I mean, it should, when they're young, they should hear. You learn so much. I was also, when I was at Kali Lalita's and whatever, you know, whatever little they can do, the child. Also, Prabhupada also says in the purport, okay, if you're not Nitya Siddha, you can become Sadhana Siddha, and we have the example of Narayana. And there's no difference between two in the ultimate issue. It's Sadhana Siddha. I'll just read one more verse in this section. Vyasiki cha bhagavan vasudeva parayana Urugaya gunodara satam syohi samagame. Sukadeva Goswami, the son of Vyasadeva, was also full in transcendental knowledge and was a great devotee of Lord Krishna, son of Vasudeva. So there must have been discussion of Lord Krishna was glorified by great philosophers in the company of great devotees. So, what Prabhupada says in the purport is, Jiva Goswami says, cha means also. So also he was also a great devotee. He was also Vasudeva Parayana. He was also Bhagavan, full and transcendental knowledge. Even though there was no difference in them. And because they were the principal, there was a great assembly, but because they were the principal persons in the assembly, there must have been discussion of Krishna within that assembly. Superficially, Maharaj Bricket and Sukadev may be opposites, but basically they were both unalloyed pure devotees of the Lord. When such devotees are assembled together, there can be no topic save discussion of the glories of the Lord. There's no difference. Satam, they're devotees, and devotees, this is what devotees do. They discuss and talk about Krishna. This is what makes you a devotee. And so they're both. And therefore, there must have been glorification in this assembly.